of, or be 100% increase in the increase of taxes. I think if the committee had possibly looked at, and I'm talking about the substantive committee on human resources, they had considered possible alternatives rather than trying to go back to the well. I think we can only go back so many times and hit the same people with the same kind of tax and expect them to eat that as part of the cost of doing business. And it's for that regards that I'm going to have to oppose this. I appreciate what the subcommittee has done on this bill. I support the Youth Conservation Corps, but I don't support this as a method of achieving it, because I think if you put people out of business, all you're going to do is spread the taxation around to that much fewer operators and try to collect the same amount of money. And I don't think you're going to achieve the results that is intended here.
Yes, Representative Van Vliet.
In committee, I opposed it for much the same reason as Senator Hannon, with one additional one, and that is where the location of this particular corps goes, because I believe that the employment division, having served on the committee that looked at their budget and their trying situation, is not the most ideal place to assign the Youth Conservation Corps, and that there ought to be a better organizational structure we should look at in government to handle it. So basically, that's my reason for a negative vote on it.
Further discussion? Representative Peterson,
yeah, I might
close,
just
please.
Close by saying that we did hear testimony in committee that tax on these amusement devices hasn't been raised since the mid-70s for most of them, and some of them not since about 1943. So although it is a substantial increase, there has been no increase for a number of years.
Thank you very much. John, would you call the roll, please, on sending House Bill 2215 to the House floor due pass?
Senators Roberts?
Aye.
Hannon?
No.
Crowe?
Aye.
Yee?
No.
Bradbury?
Aye.
Hamby?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Co-Chair Vaughn?
Vote aye.
Representative Van Vliet?
No.
Hanneman?
Aye.
D.E. Jones?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Sola?
Aye.
Co-Chair.
Aye. And House Bill 2215 will report due pass with amendments to the House floor. House Bill 2318 relating to special education. Representative Hanlon, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This relates to a $60,000 transfer between Fairview from Fairview to the Department of Education. According to a consent decree between the State of Oregon and the U.S. Department of Justice, all school-age children will be transferred from Fairview to community placements by July 1st, 1990.
I don't know.
1 year from now. The school program Fairview will be closed, but some educational services will still be required for children who are admitted for short-term emergency care. This measure transfers responsibility and funding for education services from mental health to the Department of Education. Services will be contracted from Department of Education then with the local school districts as needed. Statutory and authority and funding for the program will be the same as that for other state-funded hospital programs, including a provision for county school fund billings for children to be admitted. The measure also deletes the county school fund billing requirement for regional programs. The billing, which is for children placed in a classroom half a day or more, no longer generates any significant revenues. That is because of changes in service delivery, which substitute itinerant teacher and consultant services for classroom places. Replacements of these revenues is included as a priority item for special education funding above this expenditure limitation, but this bill does not include the expenditure limitation in any way.
Thank you very much.
That last sentence wasn't in my pony.
Okay. Are there further questions on House Bill 2318? Are there objections to sending it as amended to the House floor due pass? Hearing none, so ordered. House Bill 3456 relating to Oil Heat Commission. Representative Hanlon again, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. 3456 creates the Oil Heat Commission for the purposes of providing funds for environmental cleanup from tank leakage and promote conservation and education for the 210,000 homes and businesses in Oregon that use oil heat. The Act creates two separate accounts in the fund. The heating oil education and conservation account is funded from heating oil dealer assessments sufficient to generate $500,000 each year. And the other fund, the heating oil remedial action account, will fund environmental cleanup activities related to heating oil releases and is expected to receive initially $1.25 million from dealer assessments. The subsequent assessments will be actuarially determined based on claim experience and reserve requirements. And the limitation in here is the maximum is $1.25 million. The subcommittee amended the bill to include an other funds expenditure limitation of $1.25 million for the heating oil remedial action account and $1 million for the heating oil education and conservation account. The administrative expenses of $269,000 will staff the commission with a full-time administrator and secretary and will be funded totally out of other funds. The subcommittee also amended the bill to increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $32,000 for the Department of DEQ that will license the persons involved in cleanup of soil contamination from spills from underground storage tanks and heating oil tanks. That's the bill, and I'd ask for your support. It came on a unanimous vote from the subcommittee.
Thank you very much. A lot of work gone into this. Further questions of committee members? Is there any opposition to sending this bill onto the House floor with the attached amendments to pass? Hearing none, so ordered. Once again, Representative Hanlon on 3515 relating to the environment.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is the big one. This comes from the subcommittee on a unanimous support of nothing vote, and this is the bill which is the seven different bills that came to the committee, consolidates those and deals the relating clause says relating to the environment, solid waste, hazardous waste, groundwater. And bear with me, I'm sure I'll touch on all of the different programs under here. One of the programs is a toxic use and hazardous waste reduction program, which is established, which requires certain toxic and hazardous material waste material users to develop plans to reduce dependence on such materials. DEQ is to provide technical assistance to industries to accomplish this purpose. Annual reports are to be filed with the department indicating the progress made in reaching the stated goals in the plan. Another section of the bill is protection of groundwater quality. The goal statement stresses the importance of preventative approaches to groundwater protection. A statewide groundwater monitoring and assessment program will be implemented and research conducted to assist with the development of plans to address solutions in areas found to be of concern. Another separate part of the bill is a comprehensive solid waste management program. Pilot projects are included to address the issue of proper disposal of household and small quantity generators of hazardous waste. Technical assistance will be available to local governments to establish waste management plans, and limited funding will be available for solid waste planning and recycling. Even though there's been some controversy over that, I must emphasize that recycling is still contained, although not to the extent some proponents would have had those in the bill. The current hazardous material emergency response program is significantly enhanced with the establishment of a financing source to finance 10 regional response teams. Equipment and protective gear will be purchased and responder training provided. It's expected that with the establishment of 10 teams, the entire state will have the response capability, and the major authority and powers embodied therein are established in the fire marshal's office to coordinate that part of this bill. The bill also puts a funding mechanism in place for the cleanup of potential orphan sites under the state Superfund program. Further provisions establish a financial assistance program to allow the DEQ to guarantee loans or to provide other assistance to help owners clean up sites for which there are responsible parties. Community Right to Know program is another section. Under the direction of the state fire marshal, it will receive a new funding source under the bill. Prior to this time, it was funded through the general fund and the fire insurance premium tax. The 1987 legislature directed a new source of financing be found. The program's outline will be financed by the following sources, and this is all of the ones I've hit so far. A new hazardous substance user fee, a loading fee on petroleum products, a solid waste tipping fee, an increase in the fertilizer fee, increased industrial and municipal waste permits, fire insurance premium tax, a 25 underground storage tank fee, and an appropriation of $1.5 million from the general fund. The specific areas to be financed, and I'm not going to give the dollar amounts after them, they are available. The hazardous substance user fee is used in part for the following four programs: the Community Right to Know, the Department of Revenue Administration, Toxics Reduction Program, and the potential for Superfund. The oil loading fee is used for the spill response program, that is the 10 teams. It has a potential for the Superfund, and also through for administration through the Department of Revenue. Fire insurance premium tax now is another partial source for the spill response program. Fertilizer fee is included in the groundwater program for research and development and uses of those materials. And the industrial and municipal waste permits are applied in the groundwater program. Solid waste tipping fee is used for the waste reduction program and potential for the Superfund. The underground tank fee is for the underground tank program, and the general fund of $1.5 million it goes into the groundwater program. If I recollect, the original proposals dealt with a total of about $30 million fees in general funds. The way these substantive matters come to you funded, your committee on a unanimous vote has produced program financed by $8.7 million. $1.5 million of that is made up of general fund, and the other $7.2 million is user fees. Mr. Co-Chair, I'd like to thank the subcommittee for the hard work, and I certainly recommend this be passed on. We've had enough of it.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there further comments by members? Senator Bradbury.
As one who helped craft during the last interim this most of this package, I just wanted to express some very strong appreciation to the members of the subcommittee for all the hard work and substantial effort that went into this. I think this program does take some very significant and very real steps forward with the groundwater program, with the Superfund program, with the first in the country Toxic Use Reduction Act. I think we're making significant progress in this state on some very pressing issues. Obviously the bill does not go as far as it was sent to the subcommittee. I accept that. I think it goes a long way, and I hope that we can look with some real favor next session on increasing the funding for the prevention aspects of the groundwater program, which I think is a real key, and I think it can wait for some further assessments that are going to be done through the program that has been funded by this act. So I just wanted to very briefly indicate real appreciation and real support for this package. I think it's an excellent job.
Representative Jones?
Yeah. Just a quick comment in regard to Senator Bradbury. We didn't have a lot of history to go on as far as the groundwater. We all know that that's a priority issue, but you've got to do some work first before you just go out and start shutting people off because there's contamination someplace. So this will provide them the money to, or the wherewith to go ahead and get some information that we're going to need farther down the road.
Okay. Further discussion. Senator Yee, yes.
I just want to say Chairman Hanlon did a very good job. We gave all the issues very careful review. We stayed till late Saturday night, 8 o'clock, several days of examination of issues. The fact that with a 29% increase in budget coming out unanimously say something about the chairman's good work.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I come home now?
No. Tomorrow night.
Right on.
Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair, to point out the comments have been made. Again, I think there was probably more speculation about how this bill would form in its final shape than any piece of legislation in the Ways and Means Committee. It's a credit to the product that can come out of a committee that strives to achieve balance, and in effect, that's what happened. Excellent product.
Okay. Is there any opposition to sending this bill to the House floor? Do pass. Hearing none, so ordered. One last item, House Bill 5038, which was sent to the Senate. It was diverted because of some technical adjustments, and it's back down for our Senator Hamby, please. This is the last bill, please.
The technical adjustment the co-chair spoke to is found on page 3. It very simply states that the Department of Justice has agreed to develop administrative rule by formal guidelines for the implementation of the criminal investigative unit. I urge your support once again.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the Senate committee, which took this in their hands and worked it and made the suggestions. Is there any opposition to sending it to the House floor? Do pass. Hearing no opposition, so ordered. Announcements. The House goes in at 2. We'll try to get capital excused. I think there's a couple other committees.
The
Frank?
Salary committee goes in immediately.
Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to recess. There is theory that we could possibly come back and touch up on a couple items that did not make it at the 1 o'clock full. So we'll say 5-ish. So we'll stay in touch, please.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes, Representative Hanlon.
The transportation sub, if I see Sue shake her head yes, we'll go back in immediately. And I omitted in carrying that 3515. I wanted to say thank you to Sue Acuff and Jeanette Holman for work on that.
Transportation meeting?
Okay, we stand recessed to 5-ish.
Let's start with the budget for use conservation 455-41. Senator Bradbury.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair. This is the budget for the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps, except for an initial seed money general fund appropriation. This agency has existed solely on gifts and donations. A separate measure, not this bill, but a separate measure, provides a new dedicated revenue source from an increase in the amusement device tax, which would be effective on July 1st, 1990. A general fund loan is required to fund agency operations until the new revenues are realized. Donations are projected to continue at $400,000 for the biennium. The budget continues the existing three positions and provides for matching operating funds to the Oregon Community Service Corps of $250,000 in 1991 and provides $683,743 for the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps operations. Good program, should have our support.
Thank you. Are there objections to Senator Bradbury's motion that Senate Bill 5541 report to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, is ordered. Now let's go to bills are out of committee and beginning with Senate Bill 711. Senator Hannon.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members, Senate Bill 711 is a bill that relates to employees of the law enforcement data system. This bill provides police officer retirement benefits for current employees of the Executive Department's Law Enforcement Data System, or LEDS, who are certified by the Board of Police Standards and Training. These are current employees who were hired. Some of them were board certified by the Police Standards and Training Board. And what this is a bill that the employees were assured would pass several sessions back, and it's been in the mill and it has not been enacted. And what this does, it affects nine employees who are current employees of the LEDS. I would urge the passage of Senate Bill 711 out with a due pass recommendation.
Questions? Discussion? Is there objection to Senator Hannah's motion on Senate Bill 711 to report to the House floor the due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next is Senate Bill 1015. Senator Roberts, please.
Mr. Chairman, this bill amends ORS 237.003 to include in the definition of police officer for the purposes of retirement benefits in PERS employees of the McLaren School for Boys, Hillcrest School of Oregon, and other juvenile training schools and juvenile detention facilities where juveniles are committed to the custody of the Department of Correction or the Children's Services Division. The bill applies only to employees who hold valid Oregon teaching certificates and who have supervisory control or teaching responsibilities over juveniles committed to the schools and detention facilities. The employees affected by this bill, and I believe that there were, I forgot what the figure was, 40 of them? 45. Experience such a high rate of injury due to volatile and often violent circumstances under which they must work, that they are one of the most costly employees under the SAFE system. This bill would provide the enhanced retirement benefits and recognition of those working conditions. This action will result in minimal increased cost to the state because there are relatively few employees affected. Costs are spread throughout the state agencies as a component of the employer contribution rate to PERS. The bill will not cause the employer rate to increase, and I urge the adoption of the bill.
Questions? Discussion? Is there objection to Senator Roberts' motion that Senate Bill 1015 report to the House floor the due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next is Senator 11.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes, Senator.
I request unanimous consent for me to change my vote from yes to no on 711, Senate Bill 711. It will not affect the
is there
passage.
Objection? Senator, use request. Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, we're now through Senate Bill 1015. We'll come back as soon as the Senate gets done with the call on 1195. Sorry, House members.
Okay.
What we're calling for. Do you have any idea what the call is?
Call the Senate.
I don't think we're going to
leave us here, martinis.
Oh, we're going to
have to. We can try to talk to our.
They say you'll get it tomorrow.
Good.
Okay, so hopefully the Senate members will stay here this time.
All right, we'll try.
Let's try now with 1195, Senate Bill, Senator Bradbury.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 1195 provides for an alternate revenue source to support the Public Utility Commission rail program in the event of an adverse U.S. District Court of Appeals decision eliminating our ability to collect the current fee that supports the program. The bill proposes what's called a relative benefit fee approach. As amended, Senate Bill 1195 would apply the relative benefit analysis to all PUC rail programs and not just grade crossing and employee safety programs as proposed in the A. Engross version of the bill. This allows the Public Utility Commission to consider the relative benefit to the rail industry of track and equipment safety programs, as well as the relative benefits of grade crossing and employee safety programs as they try to establish the fee. Even with this measure, an adverse court decision will require some general fund to support the public benefit portion of the relative benefit decision. Without this backup that 1195 represents, an adverse decision would require total general fund support or substantial program elimination. I recommend support for Senate Bill 1195.
Thank you, Senator Bradbury. Discussion, yes, Representative Hanneman.
I was the only no vote in subcommittee. I felt that the public's interest was worth the coverage of several of the responsibilities that I felt were more than the railroads. That would have been a general fund impact of $600,000. And you can appreciate that I was bit trapped, and the difference between $200,000 and $600,000 is a cost to the general fund. But I felt it was the public's interest to do that, and so I opposed the subcommittee's decision.
Thank you. Further discussion, Senator? We will probably have a roll call.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes. Further discussion on Senator Bradbury's motion on Senate Bill 1195. Senator Yee.
I want to mention that this bill came from the Senate Transportation Committee, where it was amended to delete the track and equipment checking program, because we heard testimony extensively for about 2 hours. And five of the seven members decided to delete the track and equipment program because we felt that it was checked by federal officials as well as by industries. And we didn't feel that the state needed to duplicate the program. So you, in the Ways and Means Committee, I suppose it was amended to take out the substantive committee's recommendation.
Mr. Chair. Senator Trow.
I would be opposing the amendment.
Senator Trow.
Deja vu of 2 years ago when Senator Yee and I were both on subcommittee dealing with the same budget, and we had a lot of testimony from PUC and others about the importance of the track safety program and the fact that without it, there's not adequate checks of the track, and there could be serious accidents. And it seemed to me that I was convinced anyway that clearly this is an important part of the regulations, very much needed.
Further discussion? Not. Let's call the roll on Senator Bradbury's motion on 1195, please.
Representative Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
No.
T.E. Jones.
No.
Burton.
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Soa?
Aye.
Co-Chair Gilmore?
Aye.
Senators Roberts?
Aye.
Hanlon?
No.
Crow?
Aye.
Yee?
No.
Bradbury?
Aye.
Hamby?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Co-Chair Thorne?
Votes aye. Motion carried. Next is House Bill 2049. Senator Troll, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2409 relates to public employees' retirement system, and it's a housekeeping bill for a whole group of statutes related to the PERS system. In addition to numerous changes which provide definitions and standardized language, the bill clarifies the cost of living increases for retirees are also payable to the beneficiary of deceased retirees, that teachers at McLaren Hillcrest and the schools for the deaf and the blind are treated the same as other teachers when computing the value of unused sick leave, that medical insurance benefits extend to the surviving spouse or dependent of an eligible retiree, and that benefit options may be changed within 60 days of the date a retiree receives the first benefit check rather than the date the check is first due. The bill also stipulates that the penalty to be paid by an employer delinquent in submitting reports will be 1% of the employer's annual contribution, or $2,000, whichever is less. The changes in this bill are needed to clarify existing statutes. I urge support.
Thank you. Other questions? Discussion? Objection to Senator Cho's motion that House Bill 2049 report to the House floor with a new pass recommendation. Hearing none, so ordered. Next on the agenda is House Bill 2282. Senator Larry Hill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This measure establishes procedure for the seizure and forfeiture of property used in or gained as a result of illegal drug activity. Two recent Oregon Court of Appeals decisions have called into question the enforceability of current local seizure ordinances. In addition to resolving these questions, the established procedures in House Bill 2282 provide for the protection of security interest in the forfeited property. An advisory committee is established to report on disposition and use of the proceeds from forfeitures and to make recommendations to increase the effectiveness, fairness, and efficiency of forfeiture actions brought under this act. Based on passage of the recent ballot measure, state proceeds under this act are dedicated to support existing Oregon State Police Department and Justice Department activities. Monies above specified amounts go to the newly established special crime and forfeiture account for criminal justice and drug treatment and education purposes. And this will be going to the Senate to do pass recommendation.
Thank you. Questions? Discussion? Is there objection to Senator Hill's motion that House Bill 2282 be reported to the Senate floor to do pass?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes, Representative Hanlon is objecting. Any other objections? If not, motion carried. Next on the agenda is House Bill 2681.